Hey everyone, I'm Jim Ambusky, and this is Conversations at the Washington Library. In 1784, King Charles III of Spain sent George Washington a token of his esteem. Knowing that Washington had long sought a Spanish donkey for his Mount Vernon estate, the king permitted a jack to be exported to the new United States. Washington named the donkey Royal Gift in recognition of its royal origin, and the donkey became somewhat of a minor celebrity when he disembarked from his ship in 1785. Now you might ask, what's all the hee-haw about? But as it turns out, Spanish jacks like Royal Gift were highly prized animals in the Atlantic world. And in this case, the Spanish, who had supported the United States during the American Revolution, saw an opportunity to use the donkey as a way to shore up diplomatic relations with the new republic and protect their interests in North America. On today's show, Professor José Emilio Janes joins me to discuss his new book, El Regalo de Carlos III a George Washington, El Periplo del Royal Gift. Janes is a veterinarian and associate professor at the University of Salamanca in Spain. As the title of his work suggests, it is a Spanish language book, one that makes use of manuscripts and Spanish archives to flesh out Royal Gift's story. We spoke last fall with the help of his friend and collaborator, Alan Nguyen Jr., who it so happens is a native of Alexandria, Virginia, and who has lived in Spain for many years and runs Allen's School of English in Zamora. If Spanish happens to be your mother tongue, or if you're like me and you are desperately trying to get better at it, please check out the Spanish language version of this episode, which will appear in your podcast feed. Before we get started, we ask you to do us a quick favor. If you like the show, please drop us a review through your favorite podcast app. We really appreciate it. And be sure to check out our new website for the show, which we think will make it easier for you to find your favorite episodes. You can now find us at www.georgewashingtonpodcast.com. Now get ready to hold your horses and let's offer George Washington a royal gift with José Emilio Janes. All righty. Well, welcome to the both of you to the program. I'm very excited to have you here, and I'm excited, as I just mentioned to you a moment ago, that this is our first bilingual podcast, and we're really excited to highlight your book, José, and to talk about Royal Gift. And we've got several questions we want to get to, but just wanted to say welcome and hope you're doing well in Spain. And thank you to Alan, who will be translating for us today, because my Spanish is not great. I haven't practiced since college, and so I'm looking forward to having Alan's help in this quest.
It's my pleasure to give you all the help you need.
Thank you very much. Well, I thought we'd start by talking about the big picture of your book. In the United States, I suspect that when people think about Royal Gift, or when people come to Mount Vernon and hear about Royal Gift, if they've heard about him at all, they see his story as much more of a curiosity than something that reveals a great deal about the relationship between Spain and the United States, about animal husbandry, or George Washington's business pursuits. And I'd like to talk about some of these larger themes, but I thought it would be helpful for the audience to have a foundation. So for those listeners who have not heard of Royal Gift before, José, would you give us a brief overview of his story? What are the key things that they ought to know?
So Royal Gift is the name that George Washington gave to the Spanish jack, which was given to him as a gift by the King, Charles III of Spain, in November 1784, but it didn't actually arrive until 1 year later. Había hecho varios intentos de compra. So Washington at that time had already made several attempts to buy one from Spain because of the great reputation that the jacks had in Spain. The idea was to breed them with good mares, and in this way obtain the best mules for his plantation in Mount Vernon. At that time in the United States, there were very few mules, and the ones that did exist were of poor stature, due to the poor quality and the lack of jacks that there were at that time. So on his third attempt, George Washington requested the help of a company from Alexandria, Virginia, which did business with Spain. And this company asked for the help of the head of the Chamber of Commerce in Spain, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce in Spain, in Madrid, to get permission from the king in order to export one from Spain to the United States, because this was not allowed at the time. The Secretary of State of Spain notified Charles III and decided to give them as a gift two donkeys to George Washington.
Yes, así que compraron.
So finally, in 1785, two donkeys were bought in the province of Zamora, and they were guided to the port of Bilbao in the north of Spain. They were set on two different ships to be sent to the United States. The first one didn't make it. The first one passed away shortly after setting sail. The second one did and arrived in Gloucester, Massachusetts, with the same stable lad that had taken him from Zamora to Bilbao.
Cuando Washington se enteró que el arañón llegó,
George Washington was very impatient, and when he finally heard that the donkey had arrived, he sent the supervisor of Mount Vernon to go and get Royal Gift and the stable lad in Boston, where they were waiting for him. They went through many cities, walking down on the whole East Coast, and finally arrived at the plantation on the 5th of December.
Allí estuvo seis temporadas.
So he was given the name Royal Gift, and when he arrived at the plantation, he was used for breeding during five seasons. And after those five seasons, he was sent to South Carolina to continue breeding in that area of the U.S. But unfortunately, after several complications, he suffered an illness. It got complicated, and he finally died there in 1796. So the two most important things to keep in mind are, first of all, the place and the era of history and the circumstances under which the gift was given. And the second is, of course, the gigantic popularity of George Washington at the time.
Well, that's really, really helpful. Thank you so much for giving us that framework. And I think that's going to be useful as we move forward. When did you first begin researching Royal Gift, and what inspired you to write this book? What did you believe was missing from the story?
Bueno, comencé siendo estudiante de veterinaria.
So the beginnings were very long ago, when he was studying to be a veterinarian, and he read only two lines in a book that said that Charles III had given George Washington a donkey as a gift. History has definitely pushed him into this project. And finally, at the end of the 90s, in one of his first books, he wrote a little bit about the gift, because he learned that there was a lot of information in the National Historic Archive of Spain, and he wrote a few articles later about that.
Regalé unos de mis libros.
So then in the year 2000, he gave a gift to a great ethnologist here in Spain, who has since passed away, unfortunately, about the races of animals here in Spain. And he, in turn, gave Jose a gift of a copy of part of the documentation that existed in the National Historic Archive regarding Royal Gift.
Considero que un libro es un viaje.
He considers that a book is a journey and a voyage that takes us to another world, and it's necessary to know what we have been in the past in order to understand what we are now.
Lo que faltaba en la historia era realmente que en Estados Unidos.
There are several things that were missing from the story. One of the things he noticed was that in the United States, not very much had been written about Royal Gift, and a lot of the things that had been written about him were either as an anecdote or a curiosity, weren't taken very seriously. They also lacked a lot of data. A lot of times the real truth of the story was distorted, and it was almost always the same version, which was not the right one. So it was also necessary to clear up the reasons behind the gift, the circumstances, and to reveal who was really behind the gift, because it probably wasn't Charles III himself, but his Secretary of State at the time. So he felt it was necessary to clear that up.
Además, lo que faltaba fundamentalmente era una visión diferente.
Another thing that he wanted to do was to give a different perspective or a different vision of George Washington as a plantation owner and as the first president of the United States. He wanted to concentrate on his day-to-day activities during his presidency, for example, and trying to maintain and control Mount Vernon from New York or from Philadelphia, also to establish his worries about his prized donkey, royal gift, and also to the advertisements in the press offering the services of his donkey, also to talk about his constant visits back, going back and forth to Mount Vernon, and other various situations that came up during his research, to take it from a different perspective. And finally, also to establish the personal relationships that he had with other celebrities of the time, and most importantly, to establish what the true history of the donkey was. The book was written principally for the American public, as George Washington is of course the main character of the book. And by the way, his editor in Spain here, Doce Calles, continues to look for a publishing house in the U.S. who might be interested in making a version of the book in English, because it's a shame that this story can't be told to the American public, considering that it's in Spanish, and only a small portion of the population would really understand the book, unless we could find somebody who would want to do an English version of the book.
Además, para Jim,
he said this comment was for you, Jim. He said part of this book was written in California because his son lives in California. And when he began writing the book, he thought to dedicate the book to his granddaughter. But as the project has gone on for some time now, well, he had three when the book was published, so he dedicated the book to all three of his granddaughters, and between printing and publishing and everything else, a fourth granddaughter has come along now in California, so he's now writing another book, because since he dedicated the book to the first three, he didn't want to slight the youngest granddaughter, so he's working on another project now.
Well, that's a very good excuse to write another book. And I will say, I just want to thank you, actually, Jose, while we have you on the podcast. You did send me a copy of your book, and I've been slowly making my way through it. My ability to speak Spanish is not great, but I do retain at least a functional reading level. So I have enjoyed working through it very carefully. So I do hope that you're able to find an English translator, because I think it would enjoy a wider audience here in the United States.
He hopes so.
Well, one of the things you've already hinted at is that Spanish Jacks, like Royal Gift, were very highly valued. What made them so special? What was it about Royal Gift's breeds that made men like George Washington hold them in such high esteem? What made them so special?
So first of all, the origin of the animal was, the animals were from Zamora and were not from Andalusia, which is where a lot of people think the donkey had come from. And secondly, the breed of this particular breed of donkey was able to produce very good mules if it was bred with mares. And you could also breed, of course, the jacks with donkeys. And by breeding this particular jack with donkeys, even if they were of a different breed, you would obtain other donkeys that with very good characteristics for pulling things, for carriages and things like that, and for working in the fields in the country. It was a race that was particularly adapted to the hard farm work of the time. So one of the things that tipped Jose off to the fact that this donkey was in fact from Zamora were the physical characteristics of Royal Gift. They're very corpulent. They're tall. The head is very voluminous. The ears are usually very big and wide. The jaws are very strong. The chest is wide, and particularly the color of the donkey. Usually the color of its coat is chestnut or black. Sometimes it has even red highlights or blonde. Also, sort of a characteristic silvery white nose that also appears on the chest of the animal. It's difficult to confuse this particular animal with other animals. But probably the most important characteristics of these donkeys were they're very large, they're very tall, and so it's easier to breed with mares. And also the ringlets, they have kind of these cute ringlets, except for on the head, but they have very long hair. So it's very difficult to confuse this donkey with other types of donkey.
Oh, you mentioned that they were very highly prized for their agricultural work. And I'm also wondering if the breed also holds a particular place in Spanish popular culture. The easy default for the American is to think of Don Quixote and the animals that appear in that novel. And so I'm wondering if Spanish Jacks, like Royal Gift, like his breed, are a popular feature in other forms of culture.
Bueno, realmente España tenía una gran población asnal, ¿no?
Perhaps we can't think of anything in popular culture that might be representative of the donkey itself. But it is true that there are many breeds of donkeys here in Spain. In the past, there were donkeys all over Spain, and there are a very numerous quantity of donkeys. And usually the donkey was not very highly considered, particularly compared with horses. And the donkey was considered the horse of poor people. So when you think of Don Quixote and you think of Sancho Panza riding a donkey, probably comes from that. But definitely you can see from this that this is the reason why when the gift was chosen, it was very carefully chosen what part of Spain they were going to choose the donkey from, because if they sent just any donkey, that it might be considered an insult, whereas sending two of the best, biggest, strongest donkeys in the nation, then it probably wasn't considered as an insult.
Well, that makes sense, and it actually picks up on a question that I was wanting to ask you. Because one of the fascinating things I learned from your work is that Spanish Jacks, like Royal Gift, could not leave Spain unless King Charles III gave his consent. Why did their export require royal authorization?
Bien, de una manera muy resumida,
prohibition of exporting livestock actually began in the 14th century. So it was a law that had been in place for a long time. At the end of the 14th century, it was prohibited to export livestock. Donkeys were included maybe 50 years later. And basically, it was a protectionist measure in order to protect the Spanish agricultural economy. And if anyone, usually this applied to cities that were on the frontiers, but of course, it applied to the whole country, as the country as a whole. And if anyone, any infractors, the punishment for exporting livestock was that they were stripped of all of their assets and money and everything. So it was a very harsh penalty for this crime.
Así que el rey era el único que podía dar autorización.
So, as it was, of course, prohibited to export livestock, live animals from Spain, then it was necessary to receive the consent of the king in order to remove any live animals from Spain. So for this reason, the consul in Spain the representative of the company, the company from Alexandria in Spain, made the deal, asking for help from Mr. Carmichael, who was the ambassador in Madrid at that time. And he wouldn't even have considered trying to remove the animals from Spain or export the animals from Spain, given the risk and the conflict which might cause, particularly for George Washington himself, for being interested in like an illegal product. No, so.
Well, that makes complete sense. And then thinking about the larger relationship between Spain and the United States in this period, Spain, of course, did provide crucial assistance to the U.S. during the American Revolution. And so I'm wondering how we might think about Royal Gift's story in the context of Spanish-American relations after the United States gains its independence. Should we see Charles III, and actually you mentioned his Secretary of State, should we see their giving of this donkey to Washington as a form of diplomacy to cement relations between the U.S. and Spain in this period?
Efectivamente, siempre fue un error cuando...
Definitely, this gift should be considered as a diplomatic gift. There's definitely something behind it. It's not a mere anecdote. It's something to be taken much more seriously than what's been written about it so far.
Hay que tener en cuenta dos factores fundamentales.
So there are two major factors to be taken into account. The first being, of course, George Washington's popularity among the public. And the second one is what Jose calls the great opportunity. So in the first place, was talking about George Washington's popularity. He was, of course, a figurehead of the time. No, after the victory in the revolution against the Brits, he was and will always be considered the eternal general. And after renouncing this position in November of 1783, and he was also a great landowner, and he belonged to the political elite and economic elite of the time. And so he was very well connected, and he had a lot of influence on American society. Okay, so the other thing is the great opportunity. Of course, a great opportunity for Spain. Taking into account that Spain had started war with the Brits during the Revolutionary War. Officially, they started in June of 1779, but they were, of course, helping the rebels or the colonists during the Revolutionary War, and didn't want anybody to find out about this because, of course, they were a monarchic state as well, and so this might be frowned upon. Of course, they did help during the revolution, and then only 1 year before the gift was actually conceded to George Washington, they had signed a treaty, the Treaty of Paris, and they made a separate deal with Great Britain too. So it was a good opportunity for Spain to make friends.
Además, hay que tener en cuenta que el Imperio Español era muy extenso.
So at that time, we have to take into account that a large portion of North America was actually part of the Spanish Empire, including New Spain or California up to Oregon, what was Louisiana, Western Louisiana. Louisiana was the Mississippi Valley and this area, not just the state that we know of today. So if you take into account that a great portion, in fact, 2/3 of North America was considered part of the Spanish Empire, this was probably an interesting opportunity for Spain to make some friends again. Another thing to mention is that the year of the gift, 1784, there were two crucial points that needed to be addressed. One was defining the frontiers of the north of Florida, which continued to be part of Spain. And another thing was the Mississippi, about sailing on the Mississippi. And 3 months before the gift was actually given, Spain had closed the Mississippi River to traffic, to sailing. So these were some things that they had to work out with the new colonies in the United States.
Finalmente, George Washington.
Of course, General Washington was seen by the court of Spain as the figurehead of the new country that was getting organized with during the Confederation period, the 13 states.
When Royal Gift arrived in the United States in 1785, what kind of reception did he receive?
Oh, boom!
He arrived in Boston, Massachusetts on the 26th of September, 1785, after a journey across the ocean, which lasted 49 days.
Enseguida se difundió la noticia.
So immediately this news hit the press and it was all over the place. There were pictures of a gigantic donkey that nobody in the U.S. had ever seen such a large donkey before. And the news was that it was in fact a gift from the king of Spain. So it was published basically during 3 weeks in 28 different newspapers, which is over 50% of the newspapers of the time, in 20 cities, which is about 2/3 of the major cities of the time, and in 9 of 13 states, and people heard about Royal Gift through the press. He was a celebrity. Wherever he went, he was received by crowds of people. He spent a month in Boston. And in Boston, they made a caricature of him, which appeared in an almanac of 1786. And you can still see that today. And wherever he went, it was sensational. From New York to Philadelphia to Mount Vernon, it was quite a spectacle. And when he did finally arrive at Mount Vernon, a lot of people went to see him. They expressly made a trip to Mount Vernon, out to Mount Vernon, to see this fantastic donkey.
I would imagine that few animals have enjoyed such a reception in the United States since.
Yeah, you can't think of any animal in the world that was received by the press in any historical period with such great fanfare. Like,
neither can I.
Maybe Barnum and Bailey Circus.
that might come the closest, I would imagine. Well, as people were coming to Mount Vernon to see this donkey, what did George Washington have in mind for him as a plantation owner and someone who was in the agricultural business? What did he want to do with this prize and now famous donkey?
Bueno, para no explicar el tema de lo que es una mula.
So George Washington's intentions with this donkey was basically to renew and revolutionize the agricultural practices of the time. He knew that mules were strong and also were more efficient than horses, for example, because they didn't require as much food. So it would actually be more efficient to be using big, strong mules instead of big, strong horses to do the farm work of the time. Not only was he thinking about this for himself, but he thought about it for the nation as a whole, that this would be a great boon to the agricultural industry of his country.
Para eso necesitaba grandes mulas que no había en Estados Unidos. Y sabía
so George Washington actually had a lot more information than many people of the time. He knew that in order to obtain mules that were big and strong, he would need a donkey first, and to breed the donkey, a male donkey, with mares, and not the other way around, because that's the best way to get the best type of mules. And he also had a lot more information about types of donkeys too, and he knew that the best donkeys were in Spain, and that's why he started actually looking to Spain in order to get the best donkey possible in order to create the best mules possible. He wasn't interested in just any old mule. He wanted the best for himself and for his country. And so that's why he looked to Spain.
Además, lo que pretendía...
Of course, additionally, he would obtain an economic benefit from having this donkey on his property, because he did offer the services of his donkey for breeding purposes to other plantation owners, but not altruistically. They would have to pay in order for his donkey to cover the mares that were sent to him from other plantations nearby. So, of course, he did obtain an economic benefit from it.
We know that Royal Gift eventually dies in 1796 following injuries he sustained while on a journey to South Carolina. So what do you consider to be Royal Gift's legacy?
First of all, probably the most important thing that changed in the United States was the practice of the work done by the equine races in the country, instead of only using horses or donkeys. Mules were used much more than they had been, and it improved the economies, the agricultural economies of people of the time. Another legacy is simply the transport of genes from one side of the Atlantic to the other side of the Atlantic, and this can be seen in the descendants that continued to live on after Royal Gift died. And so finally, it's also George Washington provided a model for other people, particularly in terms of advertising their livestock. In fact, years after Royal Gift died, farmers continued to publish advertisements in papers saying that the jacks that they had on their plantations that were for breeding purposes were family of Royal Gift. They're descendants of Royal Gift. So his legacy lived on for quite some time.
Una cosa muy importante. Royal Gift...
And finally, he says that Royal Gift, of course, was the most famous donkey on either side of the Atlantic, both in the United States and in Spain. And his name lives on. Even today, we can see that the donkey continues to be a very important animal. If you look at the Democratic Party, of course, their symbol is a donkey. And in fact, it has a lot to do with this Royal Gift.
I never put those two together before, but now I will. And so, especially as we are approaching the presidential election here in the United States, every time I see the donkey on the Democratic flag, I will think of Royal Gift. Well, I have two last questions for you, and they're both kind of fun questions. And the first is, what did you find that surprised you over the course of this project? It sounds like you are using sources that sounds like no historian had actually ever used before. And so did you find something in the archives that particularly struck you as you were researching this project?
Efectivamente. Lo vamos a hacer telegráficamente.
So first of all, one of the surprising things that Jose ran into was that there was not only one attempt to obtain donkeys from Spain, but in fact four. And the first one was in the middle of the Revolutionary War. Another thing he found really interesting during his research was that there were two other people who were very, very interested in obtaining donkeys from Spain. One of them was John Jay, and the other, of course, was Thomas Jefferson. Another interesting aspect is that Lafayette, of course, a good friend of George Washington, he tried to lessen the importance of the gift from Spain, as if it weren't that important at all.
George Washington, cuando invitó a cenar...
When the donkey arrived with the same stable lad that had gone from Zamora to Bilbao, and then Bilbao to Gloucester, and then from Gloucester to Mount Vernon. And so the Spanish stable lad, when he arrived, they had a big dinner all together, and they ate oysters, which used to be very common in the Chesapeake Bay. During that dinner, they had the same problem that we have now, that there was a language barrier, and it was the stable lad, whose name was Pedro Tellez, he had some very important information for George Washington about how to go about breeding mules using this particular type of animal. And unfortunately, due to the language barrier, they weren't able to communicate, and the first season wasn't that great. We worked it out, but the first season was not the best breeding season.
En el primer mandato como presidente.
Right. So during George Washington's first term, he bought 30 mares from Pennsylvania to breed with his prize donkey.
El 15% del tiempo
so, mandato. 15% of the time that George Washington was president, he spent at the plantation at Mount Vernon. George Washington had jacks and jennies, or female donkeys, for 14 years. So in South Carolina, when the great plantation owners found out that Royal Gift was coming to their area, they bought a boatload full of female donkeys, of jennies.
Y en España.
Also, whenever something important was to be sent from Spain, they always sent it. They sent two. Instead of sending one, they sent two, just in case a boat sank or a boat was attacked by pirates or something like this. It was always done in this way in order to ensure that at least one arrived to its destination.
Finalmente, aquí he descubierto...
Another very interesting thing is that he has been able to trace back generation after generation to find the owner of Royal Gift when Royal Gift was in Spain and was not called Royal Gift, and has found their lineage today, and they were ecstatic when they learned that a family member of theirs had actually been the owner of this gift to the first president of the United States.
Wow, that's fascinating. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as a final question, and speaking of bridging the gap between the language barrier, I did want to ask Jose and Alan how the two of you met. And Alan actually gave me a little preview of this in an email the other day. But it sounds like it's a fun story. And so I was hoping you could tell the folks at home how you both met, and then something about the role that Alan played in the book project.
Very, very well. Very, very well.
So our first contact was actually the day of my wedding, because I asked a mutual friend of ours if he could come to the National Parador of Tourism, which is where we got married, and if they could come and play bagpipes before the ceremony and everything. And Jose signed on with a few others, and they showed up with their bagpipes dressed up in traditional Zamorano dress. And then I appeared dressed in the same way, and under the window of my future wife, I declared my everlasting love to her. She had no idea that this was going to happen. So she was practically, she was wearing a towel because she was getting dressed and getting ready for everything. So she came out to the balcony, and I expressed my everlasting love to her with traditional Zamorano music, folk music with the bagpipes. Bagpipes are very, very popular in this area. So that's how, that was our first encounter. So afterwards, 7 years passed, and we didn't know, we didn't hear anything of each other. And then when he started on this project in 2014, in the middle of his project, he needed a little bit of help, and he heard about Allen School of English here in Zamora, a very successful English school. And he said, "Ah, well, maybe I can get in touch with that crazy guy that was declaring his everlasting love to his wife. I wonder if he could help me out with some things with my book." So through our mutual friend again, we met up and we had a couple of beers together, and he explained his project to me, and thinking to himself that I was probably thinking that he was half crazy, and that this, but fortunately, when I told him that I was actually from Alexandria and I had studied American studies at university, then it all started to come together, really.
Respecto a la ayuda, fue muy importante para el libro.
So he says I was a great help in getting the book together. Obviously, he did an immense amount of work with a lot of original documents. So when he was looking at original documents from the United States from the 18th century, and it was, you know, you couldn't just put that in Google and have Google translate it for you, because, you know, it didn't come out very well. So I helped him out a lot with the original documents and interpreting the what exactly they were saying, or if there might be a, sort of a second way of reading things. And we worked together a lot on that, and I gave him a few ideas too about a couple of things that came up, and just using my background of the history of the United States and where I'm from. In fact, just about climate, for example, you know, things like in South Carolina, how rough the summers are and the humidity and everything, and those little things really helped out a lot in making the final product. But I think the most important thing, and I think Jose agrees with me, is the friendship that we established working on this together. We're both very passionate about history. We really enjoyed what we were doing. We had a great time, and we did establish a very, very close relationship. We both consider ourselves very fortunate to have worked on this project together.
Well, it certainly seems like a great partnership and friendship, and it's produced a lovely book. I want to thank you both. Muchas gracias for joining us today. And, you know, when you're back stateside or back in the United States, either to visit your grandson, Jose, or to visit your family, Alan, please do stop by Mount Vernon, and I'd love to get a beer with you both and talk some more.
Por supuesto que sí, Jim. Por supuesto. Claro que sí.
Of course. Of course. Yeah, it would be our pleasure.
Very good. Well, take care, and we'll see you hopefully soon.
Hey, thank you so much, Jim.
Muchas gracias.
Thanks for joining us today on Conversations, a production of the Center for Digital History at the Washington Library. This episode was hosted and produced by me, Jim Ambusky, with editorial assistance from Jeanette Patrick and support from Mount Vernon's Media Department. Be sure to subscribe to Conversations on Apple, Google, Stitcher, or wherever you enjoy your favorite programs. Have a question for the podcast team? Send it to us at conversationspodcast@mountvernon.org, and we might feature it on the show. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can do so by going to mountvernon.org/podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.